I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome to The Memo. It's Monday, February 29th, and it is a leap year, and Brad's laptop just restarted. It must mean
again,
it's that time of morning.
It's doing this like once a week
you
now.
You can tell through the
new laptop.
Righteous indignation across his face.
This laptop's like a year old, and it'll just reboot itself. Did this last week during the middle of a webcast, which is obviously a live webcast. Obviously, it's inconvenient when that happens.
As opposed to a pre-taped webcast.
And I've got another webcast today, so hopefully this will... There it goes.
That's about the sound of me getting my coffee.
Yeah. So, hopefully that'll be it for the day, and the Bobby Harrison webcast
will be fine. It's a one-time thing you have to deal with.
Yeah, I need to go to IT and say
what's up. It's fine. It's a first-world problem.
It is. It could be worse.
Like, I'm tired this morning because I stayed up late watching the Oscars. That's a first-world problem.
I started to stay up late to watch the Oscars, but then I have a sick wife and a sick baby. And I just was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed.
Those are first-world problems, too.
But I heard some racket in the living room when Leo won because my oldest daughter was pulling for him so hard.
He should.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Derek, especially you, kind of know you follow it closely. What were your general thoughts on?
Well, if you saw my posting yesterday, I got
you got a lot of them right. I did see that you got a lot of vanilla wafers.
Mad Max basically won everything that had to do with technical.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, which was a great movie. I loved it.
Stellar film, and I like a good sweep. I find it funny that a film that won 6 Academy Awards last night, and most all under technical, you know, best costume and things of that nature, cinematography, did not get best director. You would think that the person that overseen all that would also take
home.
Yeah,
you think so.
But the guy whose name I never can pronounce that directed Birdman last year and The Revenant this year, which... I did not see on principle.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's good. Revenant.
Did you see it?
It was really well
done. It's one of the first years I've not seen all the films by the time the Academy Awards roll around. I usually mark everything off the list, and I only got 5 out of 8 this time.
Oh, well, I saw like, I don't know, not many. I didn't see many films because, you know, I don't have time.
You probably only saw Mad Max.
I saw Mad Max, yeah. Then I saw Star Wars, which was not up for
Best Picture. That was not up for Best Picture.
So Mad Max probably the only one I saw. I thought Chris Rock was fantastic.
He was a little bit more reserved than I expected him to be. I was expecting more of a show from him.
You can't go, you know, full Chris Rock because it's
I'm not talking
television.
About full Chris Rock, but given the stigma that lied around these Academy Awards with absolutely no African American.
But he didn't really back away from it either.
He didn't back away. I just expected a little bit more
biting.
Punchy.
Yeah.
From him.
Well, I don't know. I still thought it was funny, though. It made me laugh.
But, I didn't, you didn't see did you see The Martian?
No, I haven't seen it either.
It did won nothing, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't really like it.
I don't know, I haven't seen it, but,
it was entertaining.
I thought the little sketch that he did with Jeff Daniels and Kristen Wiig was funny. And did you see the little old school rap references on the screen?
Yeah.
KRS-One, R.I.P. ODB.
There were several good, but my favorite bit from the whole evening was him selling Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Did you all see that?
That was,
that was fantastic. Yeah.
Leo, you made $30 million.
You made $30 million. Get your wallet out.
The people holding up money.
Yeah.
That was great.
$65,000, I think, was the total that they brought in.
Really?
Yeah. $65,000 for the girls.
To beat Lisa Dunn.
Lisa Dunn down the street.
It looked like when they're holding up all the bills, they all looked like big bills, which is probably all they had in their wallet. So they probably keep the change, right?
Yeah.
I missed it. Did they go back to showing shots of like Charlize Theron like eating cookies in the?
Oh yeah, Henry
crowd.
Cavill and Chris Evans, Superman and Captain America, were eating a box of Samoas. I mean, it was a good time to have an audience. Reminded me of Ellen giving out the pizza. I guess that was last year. Was that last year?
It's the first time I've watched
last year or the
Oscars
year before
in forever. So I don't know.
Yeah. It was year before. It was year before.
And I don't know why I wanted to watch the Oscars. I usually don't, but I missed Walking Dead for this.
I expected I was watching in anticipation, and I cared a little bit more about the movies this time around. I loved Spotlight. It was a great movie, and I was hoping that it was going to win Best Picture, and it did. I got Best Picture, Best Actor, and Best Actress right.
So you did pick Leo to win Best Actor.
I did. I just didn't want him to.
Who do you think should have won it?
Probably Leo out of everybody.
It's a personal thing you didn't.
No, it's just funny. Since 1994,
a buffalo liver
to
get that award.
It's since 1994, he's been nominated and has never won it. I just think it's funny the ongoing, like the online jokes about Leonardo DiCaprio not winning an Oscar.
He was like the Phil Mickelson of Hollywood.
Yeah,
and now now that he's won one, he's probably going to win like three or four more in the next 10 years, like Mickelson with the Masters.
At the end of the movie, too, there's this intense moment where he's staring at the camera like, give me my Oscar.
Yeah. Have I done enough for you people? Right. Give me my Academy Award. I don't know.
I got attacked by a bear for this.
Yeah, he probably...
Saw some funny bear jokes on Twitter last night, especially after that
That animated... I was like, is that a prequel to the Revenant bear story? I didn't see Trumbo, which I love Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I wondered if he didn't. Matt Damon did a fantastic job in The Martian. I just didn't really care for the film all that much. I don't think a Steve Jobs movie should win for anything, especially when it's like the 17th Steve Jobs movie that we've had.
Seriously.
I really like, not that I thought they would win. I mean, I really enjoyed Creed. I didn't get anything. I didn't think it would.
Stallone should have won. Yeah. That was an upset. Stallone should have won for...
They gave it to the Rylance guy.
I also enjoyed Bridge of Spies, and it...
That guy was in two scenes of that movie, though.
He was all over that
He
movie.
Was not in that movie
but,
that
but,
much.
But I will say, when he spoke after getting the award, he was like... He was the same as the character.
What was funny...
So that he didn't have to do a whole lot of acting.
That's true. If you go back and watch that part, they've got everybody on screen at the same time for when they're opening the envelope. And so Mark Ruffalo, Mark Rylance... So they said Mark and Ruffalo starts to get up and cheer. And then he's like, "It wasn't me." Mark Rylance.
And who was the actress that went up there and was reading off the teleprompter and messed up Rocky Balboa's name? She started to say Racky.
That was Patricia Arquette.
Like, how do you not? I know you have to read the teleprompter. You should have a clue of what you're about to say because you're talking about Rocky.
That should have been Stallone for Best Supporting. I'm sorry, he should have won for that.
I haven't seen that one either. Yeah, I got to make up some the lost time on the DVDs when they come out.
You know, on the other end, I mean, we're talking about the funny and the good moments, but I thought that the most powerful moment definitely was the Lady Gaga. I thought singing
that
song
good.
And the,
that was
all
good.
The victims coming out. I mean, that was
I missed that
powerful.
One too. I was in bed by that point.
I like the Bond theme that won. Everybody was trashing it, thinking that was a major upset, but I liked that song. So
okay.
Writings on the Wall, Sam Smith.
I have no opinions on Sam Smith. He's fine.
That kid's 23 years old.
He's got a good voice.
He's won an Oscar.
23. What have we done? I'm 40. I ain't won jack, except a few newspaper awards.
Grown something on your face, but I don't think that's a major accomplishment.
I don't know. Not everybody can grow this.
You hosted a podcast.
I hosted a podcast. Has Sam Smith hosted a podcast?
Two podcasts.
Yeah, I host two podcasts and two webcasts.
He stood up in front of several thousand people
in
Hollywood's biggest night and won an Oscar.
Get Sam Smith in
here
to
show
for
it. What do you have material to show for it?
That coffee mug?
You could have that coffee mug if you wasn't in here.
What? Yeah, true.
Did you see Louis C.K.'s introduction for Best Documentary?
Yeah, the Best Documentary Short. It's Mad Max. Oh.
One day, but the whole thing of you all will leave here with jobs, you're all in the union, you're still going to be millionaires. These people are going to take this home in their Honda Civic. Yeah. It'll be the nicest thing in their life.
They just kept going and going.
It was actually pretty good. I could foresee him being picked to host.
Oh, yeah, I love
Louis
C.K.
based on that alone.
Mm-hmm. He's great. Yeah. But yeah, then he's like, pulls out the envelope, Mad Max. No.
I'm good going back to a female host. I think it's good to offset it every other time.
How about
as long as we don't have James Franco and Anne Hathaway again, that was the weirdest year ever.
I didn't see that one. I remember
that was
about
awkward.
It.
That was like 2010, 2011.
Yeah. How about Melissa McCarthy hosting?
I'm good with that.
I'm good with that too. Yeah.
I'm good with that. She'll have a big movie coming out this year since she's bringing back Ghostbusters.
That's right. Yeah, they played what about the musical selections last night? They were kind of all over the place, the intro and outro music.
Yeah,
they played the Ghostbusters theme at one point.
Ghostbusters, I heard Superman, I heard Rocky, but they weren't played over,
It just seemed completely random, which I don't know if most years that's how it is. I noticed people commenting on it. It was good. something I noticed.
I thought, of course, you know, the issue of the diversity of the awards mm-hmm. came up a lot, but I thought the speech by the president,
was really good. Yeah, I mean, too. It was obviously very well prepared, and several people had looked over that before, you know, putting it out there. But I think, you know, on the other side, you've got that huge protest that happened last night with Al Sharpton leading and protesting the Academy Awards. So,
would Al Sharpton have a career if there was nothing to protest?
Well, he'd be a preacher.
Yeah, well.
Reverend. The Right Reverend Al Sharpton. I don't know. But I liked what Chris Rock said. This isn't about protesting. It's about... We, you know, being equal and not getting our fair share, which I agree. Michael B. Jordan should have been nominated for Creed. I think he should have been nominated for Best Actor. So that's one that definitely they lost out on, I believe.
Unlike Chris Rock.
And Chris Rock even said that when he introduced him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. On the stage for a presenter, he said, should have been nominated Michael B. Jordan.
I've not seen Concussion. Have you all seen Concussion?
I don't know enough
about Will Smith's role in that.
Speaking of Will Smith, I like the dig Chris Rock took at Jada.
I have no... We got a big show today, Brad. What do we got coming up? You're going to be talking to Bobby Harrison, Caleb Bedillion with me. I'm not going to give you a chance to say anything. And edgewise, let's kick it off.
Let's go down to Jackson and welcome in Bobby Harrison, Capitol Bureau reporter for the Journal. Bobby, how's it going?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
Good. Is it all rainbows and unicorns down there after last week?
I think so. We'll find out for sure today at 2 o'clock when they come back in.
All right. Well, it was interesting to see what went down at the Capitol last week. You had the redistricting issue in dealing with the state Supreme Court districts, and Republicans wanted to, I guess, basically tweak the districts. The Black Caucus took issue, and they ended up basically reading an entire bill. How long did that take, Bobby? Tell us a little bit about that.
The bill you're referring, they read several bills, Brad, right. But they were reading them all. But the bill you're referring to, that the first one they read on Thursday, which is really when this all started on late Wednesday, but it really erupted Thursday. And the first bill they read on Thursday was a 400-plus page bill that took over 5 hours to read.
Yeah, and they had a computer application read it, which to me, I don't know. I think that's a little bit of the easy way out. Bobby should have had somebody stand up and read that or take turns.
In the old days, they did, Brad.
This is, I don't guess you'd call this a filibuster, Bobby, but it's kind of sort of the same thing in a way.
Yeah, it's the closest thing we have to a filibuster here in Mississippi. A section of the Constitution gives any member the right to have a bill read before the final vote. Now, you know, that language goes back to the 1890s, and, you know, people say it was, you know, put in the Constitution because back then fewer people were able to read. And also, you got to remember that back then, Brad, that the bills were not as accessible. You had, you didn't have these copy machines that could turn out, you know, hundreds of copies of a bill in a matter of minutes, or even, you know, you can access it on a computer now. So there was, you know, there just wasn't many copies of a bill, so it made more sense to have it read. Now, today, in today's modern world, for decades now, that section has been used to when a member is upset or wants to file a protest, that section is used to essentially to slow the process now.
So what is the main issue they have with the redistricting there, this bill that would tweak the districts?
Well, to a large extent, a matter of whose shoes you're standing in. To the Republican leadership, they said it was a very minor change to make the three Supreme Court districts, the population more evenly divided. The central district was a little short of people, while the northern district, where the Daily Journal readers live, is about right, and the southern district was had the most population. So they moved Simpson County from the southern district to the central district. By doing that, they lowered the minority population about 0.5%, not a lot, but 0.5%, and that raised concerns of many members of the Black Caucus. And here's a reason from their perspective why that was an issue. First of all, redistricting has become a big issue to Black political leaders, because that's in the past the Mississippi's strongest district to make it hard for Blacks to have a representation in legislative or political bodies.
Right.
And normally redistricting is done kind of soon after the regular census that comes out every 10 years. And of course, the census was in the last census was in 2010, so they were asking why you register it now is, you know, when you're closer to the new census, to the next census, than you were to the old census. And a couple of things came to light in their mind. One was that the Central District has become kind of a Democratic district, if you will, but besides the Supreme Court justices is elected nonpartisan, but these districts, Northern, Central, and Southern, the same districts are used to elect public service commissioners and transportation commissioners. And they say this happened, this is happening right after, in the November elections, a Democrat was elected in the Central District of the PSC. So were they redistricting to make it harder for a Democrat to be elected in the future? And also there is a Supreme Court judge coming up for election this year, Jim Kitchens. He have a tough opposition, and Jim Kitchens is viewed as a Supreme Court justice who has a lot of African-American support. And in addition, the only Supreme Court justice from, there's 9 members of the Supreme Court, and the only African-American member of the Supreme Court is from the Central District, Leslie King. So they're saying instead of making it easier to elect black judges, which they feel that it should be, because minority population is about 37% or more in the state, yeah, there's only one African-American Supreme Court justice. So they felt they were making it more difficult to elect African-American Supreme Court justices, and in reality could be putting the only black member of the Supreme Court in jeopardy next time he runs for election. So they, for those reasons, they rose up on this issue. That was sort of the, some members said it was a straw that broke the camel's back in terms of having a bill read in the protest that we saw last week.
This redistricting bill, it's passed the House, it's on to the Senate now. Is there any way to tell whether it might get through the Senate?
Well, that was part of the sort of the deal that was kind of unspoken that black leadership met with Republican Speaker Philip Gunn, several times on Friday before they finally reached an accord, and nobody would come out and say it. But afterwards, after they adjourned for the day until adjourned Friday, and they said they had reached an agreement, key members of the Black Caucus and also Democratic leader David Barrier from Bay St. Louis went to meet with Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves, who presides over the Senate. Now, nobody's saying what's going to happen, but there is presumption that in some way that bill might be killed in the Senate, but no one's coming out and saying that, because that's kind of an awkward situation. The Speaker's not going to come out and say he asked the Lieutenant Governor to kill the bill, and I don't know if he did or is, but there seems to be a feeling that bill's not going to make it through the process at this point in time.
All right, well, good stuff there from Bobby Harrison. Follow him on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Thanks for being on the show, Bobby.
All right, you bet.
Need to remind you to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday afternoon about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session.
And don't forget about our filmmaker contest going on, the Entertain Us Movie Contest. Submissions are in, and now we need you to determine the winners. Voting's taking place over at djournal.com/entertainus. And winners are advancing in a bracket-style competition. We've got 5 finalists, Brad.
5 finalists. How's that going to work? Who gets the bye?
5 finalists.
Who gets the bye? You can't go 2-on. You can go 2-on-2 with...
With a third option.
We got the top 3 vote getters got a bye, and so we've got a play in today.
Got a play in game.
Yeah, for the last semifinal spot, the 4th and 5th top vote getters from the first 2 rounds combined.
Have to check out and see who made it.
But when we get to the top 2, those are going to square off in the championship round on Thursday. So
steel cage match.
Check that out. djournal.com/entertainus. Caleb Bedillion joining us now. Caleb, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Glad to be back on the show.
Congratulations on joining the 21st century and getting a Twitter account.
I saw that over the weekend.
We're happy to
have
you.
@Caleb Bedillion.
That's right. If you can spell it, you can find me.
It's like billion with ED right after the B. That's how you spell it.
Stop talking.
I'm trying to help people.
No, you're not. You're making it more confusing.
You know how much fun it is to say his last name?
Bedillion?
Bedillion. I bet Caleb just goes around talking to himself all day saying, Bedillion, Bedillion.
No, I just...
Bedillion.
I'd answer my phone, Bedillion.
I just go around spelling it all day.
Spell it for us.
Bedillion.
I told you it's billion, but you insert an ED after the B.
Did he get it right?
What, him? Yeah.
Did he spell it right?
Yeah, he spelled his name right.
So you spell billion with a bed?
Yeah, just instead of billion, it's bed-illion. This is how I remember how to spell things. I have a weird way of remembering how to spell things.
You're weird, period.
And I tend to like sound things out, spell things in my head phonetically, if that makes, you know what I'm saying?
You spit on me all the way from over there phonetically.
Okay.
That's a good job. I'm going to talk to Caleb now. Hey, how do you spell Derek? Stop looking at me.
How do you spell Derek? Not everybody spells their name
right. D-E-R-E-K. There should not be so
obviously, I was lied to when I was told I was going to be on the show today. I'm only listening to the show today.
Sorry.
Well, good luck getting out. The door's locked. All right. So we're talking about Trent Kelly, who less than a year ago took Alan Nunley's seat in Washington. The time has come again for the first congressional district to choose either the same or a new candidate, as happens around this time. But I guess the seat didn't even have time to get warm yet.
That's right. Even under normal circumstances, U.S. representatives are on the trail fairly often. Those elections normally come up every 2 years. But since Trent Kelly won the crowded special election last year to replace Alan Nunley following
crowded
his death.
Crowded is an understatement.
Yes, he is. Yes, back on the trail less than a year later. But he tells me that he's glad these elections come around fairly frequently. He thinks it's a way to stay grounded in the district and stay in touch with his constituents.
How many did we end up having? 12? I think that's what we were at.
12 Republicans and one Democrat.
Yeah.
Were you in that, Derek?
I was not in that one. thank you to keep your mouth shut. I think my mom ended up being one of them at some point, though. We had so many. I was like, hey, there's my mom up there. She's running as well.
But much, much less crowded field this time.
Yeah,
so,
two Republicans, one Democrat.
Yeah, so on our March 8th primaries, the big draw there, of course, will be Mississippians having a chance to cast their vote for a presidential candidate on either the Republican or Democratic side. But here in the first district, Republican voters also will get to vote for either the incumbent, Trent Kelly, or his challenger, Paul Clever.
Clever,
yes.
Clever boy.
I was going to say Cleaver.
No,
Chris is right. Pretty proud about his joke about me running because he's over there smiling still.
I had a joke too, but I didn't
say it. Go ahead. Just get it out of your system.
You mentioned your mom was in the field. I voted for your mom.
Well, I saw everybody up there. I was like, I know him. I know him. Oh, there's my mother. It was no surprise. Every day somebody else was coming forward to run.
It's the only your mom joke I could come up with.
That's fine. My mother's a saint. You leave her alone. She's a saint.
Well, confession here. When I interviewed Mr. Clever, I said, oh, hello, Mr. Cleaver. He said, Clever. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, yeah, it's a hard name to live up to.
At least it's not Dumas.
Yeah. It's pronounced Dumas. So where does Paul hail from?
Paul Clever lives in Holly Springs.
Mm-hmm. And he is going to be trying to get the Republican seat. And to get, in addition to Mr. Clever, we also have Democratic candidate Jacob Owens going after the seat in November. As you said, primaries on March 8th.
That is correct.
So we are gearing up for that any day now. Mr. Clever did not run. It was not one of the 12 or 13 back last year, so that would lead me to believe he's got some grief with Mr. Kelly.
That is correct. This is Mr. Clever's first run ever for elected office. And he's pretty blunt to me that he's running an anti-Kelly campaign.
Oh, okay.
So he tells principled anti-Kelly
Smear-ish
campaign.
Okay.
So he tells me that, you know, if he has a chance to win in the primary, he's relying on voters that are dissatisfied with Trent Kelly's record thus far in Congress. One of the objections that Mr. Clever has concerning Trent Kelly's record is Trent Kelly's vote in favor of the omnibus spending package. That was back in December. That was a legislation that kept the government funded through this upcoming September and forestalled another government shutdown. So Mr. Clever very concerned about the national debt, which currently is about $19 trillion. And Mr. Clever says if he is in Congress, expect him to vote no a lot. And that we need principled people in Washington that are willing to stand up to, you know, the Washington machine and be willing, you know, Mr. Clever says he's willing to shut the government down if that's what's needed. He objects to that terminology. To be fair, he says shutting the government down is showing what a balanced budget would look like.
Mr. Clever has a lot to say.
He apparently does. He does.
Don't worry, talking about a government shutdown. We ain't even to March 8th yet. March 8th yet. That's a hard thing to say, as a matter of fact.
He would have preferred to have seen Mr. Kelly vote against the omnibus spending package.
Well, I guess he'll get his time to debate that at some point, whether in the media or behind the podium, as we drudge forth into March. What's wrong?
Election season just makes me sad, depressed.
This is like a pebble compared to, I know, to but it's the just another boulder that we've having to deal with.
But it's
with
just
lately.
Another thing.
Now, Mr. Clever's running a pretty small campaign. He's done some speaking primarily in the DeSoto area, but that's about it.
To unseat Trent Kelly, he'll need to run a Clever campaign. Wink,
good
wink.
God. So sorry. I'm sorry, Caleb. I'm sorry, Mr. Bedillion.
I'm sleep deprived. That's all. I'm just going to blame it on that.
It's fine. Also, whoever in the newsroom signed us up for Marco Rubio's email.
That is the truth. We get like four of those every day.
I had like six at lunch yesterday.
Donald Trump sends out a lot, too. We get like all the candidates.
I don't get any Trump.
Well, I do. I get Trump. I get Rubio. I get Cruz. He sends out a lot.
I don't get anything but Rubio.
It just depends on which email list you're on.
Yeah, somehow.
I'm on most of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of these campaigns have like aggregated mailing list,
yes.
And it's probably kind of random which list we are on. But yeah, about a week ago, I landed on Marco Rubio's mailing list.
Yeah. Well, I think the news department is on Rubio's.
Yeah, right. So I'm just like every day, multiple times a day, just deleting, delete, delete.
Caleb, thanks for joining us today.
Need to remind y'all about the two sports podcasts we have. You can check out Double Coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. That's every Thursday. You can listen on iTunes or a podcast app or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And also on Wednesday, a new episode of Prep Rally, our high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. That's also on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. So check them out.
Also want to remind you about today's news memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The spring Tupelo furniture market ended Sunday with mixed results. Lower than expected turnout disappointed Tupelo Furniture Market Chairman and CEO VM Cleveland. Cleveland also said that the buyers and exhibitors had good shows. One reason turnout was low, however, was the market occurred during the tax refund season and some retailers could not get away from their stores. For more on this year's market, including a photo gallery, see the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com.
Tupelo leaders may have to again confront the issue of whether or not to fly the Mississippi state flag. Last summer, the Tupelo City Council heard multiple public requests regarding the flag. Some urged officials to remove it from city property, while others urged that the flag remain in place. There was a possibility that the legislature would take action to change the controversial flag during its current session. However, legislative attempts to change the flag failed. Tupelo Mayor Jason Shelton said in Sunday's Daily Journal that the issue of what Tupelo will do with the flag will likely come back up now.
The theft of $100,000 in commercial lawnmowers has prompted Mitchell Scruggs to offer a substantial reward. The owner of Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden Home Improvement Warehouse said they had 9 John Deere commercial Z-Track mowers stolen on the weekend of February 20th to 21st. They are offering a $10,000 reward for information that leads to the arrest of those responsible. Anyone with information is asked to call 841-6491 or Crime Stoppers of Northeast Mississippi at 1-800-773-TIPS.
A consultant from Mississippi State University will evaluate ambulance service in the area and offer recommendations. Lee County District 1 Supervisor Phil Morgan said he's been worried about how long it takes ambulances to arrive at farther-flung places in the county. He's been in talks with North Mississippi Medical Center about the issue. North Mississippi Medical Center in Tupelo operates its own ambulance service. There are no other ambulance providers in Lee County.
Again, you can read all these stories online at djournal.com. And also online, you can find Thrive Marketing at thrive.ms. It is a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Hey, Brad, it's Monday.
Hey, it is.
We briefly touched on the fact that it is a leap year.
It is. Happy Leap Day.
Today,
Derek,
is a day that does not exist, so anything you do today, you can get away with. You heard it here first, folks. Loot, riot, run through the towns.
Amnesty for all.
Yes. It's basically the purge.
Yeah, I just had that thought. Yeah.
Every 4 years, murder is legal.
We're just going to bunker down here in the journal for the next
just wait it out till midnight, till it's actually a day again. Because nothing, all today is fake.
We get paid for today?
So no, the points don't matter. It's like, whose line is it anyway?
There's so many people that would probably like to hurt me because of the crime reports.
Well, there is a line outside the door for me at the moment. Speaking of crime reports, again, Monday.
Yep.
Did these crimes actually happen?
Yes.
Because it's Monday, February 29th. I don't know.
Yeah, I've only got three, but there are three really, really good ones for you. And you can find more of these at tipsheet.djournal.com, my blog. A County Road 1389 Auburn man said a male suspect walked over to his house naked at 2 a.m. wanting to take a shower.
Well, I mean,
he's ready to go. He's
dressed for the occasion.
Just jump right in.
Dressed for the job you want, not the job you have.
What? Did he know this man?
No, I don't think so. He got the suspect to leave. After the suspect left, the man realized his new 20-foot ladder was missing from the back of his truck. Deputies picked up the suspect a few doors down and took him to the hospital for possible overdose.
Was he still naked?
Probably. Toting a ladder down the street.
I gotta change some bulbs.
I don't know what he was gonna do with the ladder when he's naked. I don't know.
Shower broke.
It's
I
all part
get out
of the
there.
Scheme to steal the ladder.
Yeah.
You distract
them. They distract you with your nudity and the shower, and then I got your ladder.
Yeah, because then you go inside and lock the door and draw the blinds and just...
Seems like a lot of effort for a ladder. I don't know.
He probably could have just snuck off with it.
Maybe he wanted the shower and the ladder. Maybe he was refused the shower and thought, screw you, I'm taking the ladder.
I don't know.
This hosts more questions than it answers.
It does. So
good for him. You know, he feels confident enough to be out there walking around in his birthday suit.
It's like I feel good about this. Okay.
Yeah.
Not ashamed.
Yeah. I'm good. Maybe it was his birthday. Maybe he's a leap year baby. And
could have been. Well, this happened before.
That's true. If it happened today, you'd just be like, oh, that Timmy. It's February 29th. We let him do what he wants.
He can do whatever he wants.
He's 70 years old, but he's really only 18.
Yeah, well. Let's move on to the next. Mm-hmm. Two officers were at a Lawndale Drive convenience store around 10 p.m., when the clerk saw a female customer concealing a beer in her purse, and the clerk asked the woman to leave, while leaving the beer, I assume. The lady looked at the officers, so I think these officers were already here when this happened. So good job trying to shoplift with
the policeman. Yeah, that's a bold move. Let's see how it pays off for her.
She looked at the officers and said, "What are you looking at?" And then began screaming at the clerk. The officers told the woman to calm down and leave. The woman replied, "Get out of my face, B word, and then I assume F you. You can't tell me what to do." We'll see. They're police officers. Actually, they can tell you what to do.
Now that seems like a completely well thought, rational person.
And guess what happened next? She was arrested.
Oh,
they told her what to do.
Imagine that.
That was a twist.
They told her to get in the car, and she had to. And
yeah.
Charged with shoplifting, public profanity, and disorderly conduct.
Now,
not to
split hairs here, but she didn't ever make it out of the business with the,
technically
with
leave
the beer.
The store.
She didn't really shoplift.
No, she was going to check out.
I can go in a gas station and put a pack of gum in my front shirt pocket as long as I'm walking to the front to pay for it.
Well, I've been known to walk into Walmart and like grab a banana and start eating it, or bottled water and start drinking it.
Please don't be one of those people.
Okay, not the banana thing.
Come on.
But I have been known.
Here's
to...
a peel.
Okay, no.
They weigh those.
I know. I'm just kidding.
That's terrible.
I was kidding about the banana, but
weigh the peel.
I've been known to open a bottle of water and drink it as we shop, and then hey, check out.
The only time that is acceptable is when you are checking out and those little coolers are there, and you grab like a Powerade or something and take a drink.
No,
that's the only. No, you can't go to the back.
Me and my wife will finish a whole water bottle.
No,
before we check out.
That is a faux pas.
It would be awkward if like your card gets declined. Well,
that is a social faux pas. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Want me to spit this back out into the bottle?
You can't tell me what to do. That story would have only ended better if they had tased her.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Her, not your wife.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, not my wife.
Let me discern there.
Yeah, so, and I think I know which store that is too on Lawndale. Imagine it happening there. Finally, a County Road 736 Plantersville woman said three men knocked on her door around 12:30 in the morning and said the woman's house was on fire. Oh, boy. A couple of good Samaritans trying to let her know that her house was on fire.
Well, it's actually three of them, so it's more than a couple. It's a few, Brad.
I didn't even pay attention to what I was reading.
Several.
Larry, this is my brother Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl.
Oh, but then the woman's husband told the men that the house was not on fire.
Oh, twist.
The suspects made some threats to the couple, then left. I'm not sure what
the
end game
is. That
they were going to
set the house on fire?
I'm not sure what the end game is here. Are you trying to get them out so you go in and rob the house? Or, I don't know.
Your house on fire? No, it's not. You, okay, but your mama.
We're going to get you now. I don't know. I guess they were trying to
lure them out.
They're trying to get them out for some reason, and I think these... They probably knew each other.
I mean,
other.
Aren't they going to know better? Your house is on fire. I'm in here. No, it's
pretty
not.
Sure I would know
if my
house is on fire.
I mean, we're all good here.
No smoke. Alarm's not going off.
Yeah.
Think we're fine.
I don't smell a thing. And
Yeah.
Maybe your house is on fire.
Your pants are on fire. Liar.
Liar, yeah. Maybe use a little reverse psychology. No, maybe your house is on fire. And then the one guy's like, did I cut off the oven? We should go home and check.
Yeah. So
thwarted the whole evening. Well, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
That's a Twilight Zone episode gone wrong right there. Well, that does it for crime.
Yeah, reports, again, tipsheet.djournal.com.
Any winners in the mugshot realm?
Oh, we had a lady that was apparently really happy to have her mugshot taken. Well, she was smiling big. You'll never guess what she was charged with. These are usually the people that are smiling in mugshots that get charged with this.
Meth?
DUI.
Ah.
Because they're still buzzed and like, hey, I'm getting my picture taken. Ha, need to smile big. Okay, so there you go. Good show, Derek. That's D-E-R-E-K.
That is D-E-R-E-K. Thank you for
smiling. On Twitter, at W. Derek Russell.
At W. Derek Russell. On Twitter, at Brad Lockie.
He is silent.
Yes, but it's visual. So true. It's visible.
And then Chris Kiefer is at Chris Kiefer. The second F is silent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Q is also silent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, so is the 7.
The 7 is silent.
I don't know Caleb's.
It's at Caleb Bedillion.
Spell it for him.
B, it's billion with ED after the B. Bedillion.
Yep.
Sound it out.
You're correct. There he is.
I need to go follow him on
Twitter. At Bobby Harrison on Twitter as well.
And it's at Bobby Harrison 9. He's got the number 9.
He's the 9th one.
9 is not silent.
The number 9?
9.
The number 9?
What?
It's the Beatles
reference.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to give people further ammo on my pop culture shortcomings, because I have no Beatles on my iPod. Okay, deal with it.
It's fine. We have enough, trust me.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. All right. Back again on Wednesday with a new episode, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, check us out online at Twitter at DJournalMemo. Also, all the stories you read about today you can find through the Daily Journal's Twitter at DJournalNow or online DJournal.com.
You have a special guest coming Wednesday. Can we tease that?
We do.
Yeah, we sure do.
Can we tell who it is, or should we just tell make the people wait?
Jack Reed Jr. will be on Wednesday.
Jack Reed Jr., the man, the myth, the legend.
Joining us on the show.
Former mayor.
Yeah, former Tupelo mayor.
All around nice guy. So, yeah, tune in for that Wednesday.
All right.
Till then.
Yeah. See you then.
See ya.